they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away.
Oh, hello, Cathedral. God is good and all the time. Thanks so much for being here. How do you like my ride? I can't wait to get this bad boy out on the open road. You can just call me a wild. Wait a second. Wait a second. What's going on here? Oh, boy. Here we go. Don't you hate when that happens? I mean, that's a nice bike. That's a nicer bike than I have. Yeah, you and your fancy schmancy bike coming in here like that. We're security when you need them. How about a big hand for Pastor Use, the real easy rider, our youth pastor. So this is the sermon. What do you do when you have a bike and then a nicer bike pulls up next to you? How do you defeat envy? We've been in a series, a Lenten series, entitled Give It Up. Say that with me. Give it up. Letting go of the seven deadly sins. And we've been looking at what they are, why they're so deadly, and how you can overcome them. And for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about the sin of envy. The Bible says this in Proverbs 14. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy rots the bones. And we know how envy kicks in. It all starts with, well, I have a bike, and then a nicer bike rides in, and then you admire the bike. It starts with admiration. That's a nice bike. Then you compare, the comparison thing. That's a nicer bike than my bike, and I don't care what kind of bike you have, someone always has a nicer bike. They do. It starts with admire, then you compare, and then you resent. You have a nicer bike than mine, and I resent you for it. You admire, you compare, and then you resent. And when envy kicks in, Warren Buffett once said this about envy. He said, it's not greed that drives the world, but envy. And it seems to me he makes a pretty good point, because our culture, maybe more than any other in human history, it has a way of feeding and fostering envy. Researchers have been looking how social media impacts this whole area, how you and I can connect with so many folks on Instagram or Facebook, and we look at how great their lives are, and then we admire, we compare, and we resent. Researchers have said this. They say, envy is being taken to an extreme. We are constantly bombarded by Photoshop lives. This comparisonitis is an emotional sickness which can't be intellectualized or curbed by willpower. Social media can create an envy spiral. We're down and down you go, down into depression, down into debt, and before you know it, you're feeling things you never thought you'd feel, you're saying things you never thought you'd say, and you're doing things you never in a million years thought you would do. Look what happens to this dog when envy kicks in. This is a good example of it.
Ai, zi, meu Deus, beijinho, 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 beijinho. Atenção!
just knocking them over. You do things you never thought you would do. That's what makes this sin of envy so deadly. Did you know it was the religious leaders? This is one of the things that drove them to nail Jesus to the cross. I mean, they looked at Jesus and he taught better than them. He healed better than them. He was more popular than they were. And their hearts were so full of envy, they couldn't even hide it. We read in Mark chapter 15 that Pilate knew that the leading priest had handed Jesus over to him because they were what? Jealous of him. What makes the sin of envy so deadly is it can take you down to places where before you know it, you're nailing the Son of God to a cross. So how can we overcome this sin? I want to give you three ideas that can help you this week. And the first one has to do with turning your comparison into contentment. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, it reads, "Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. Then sink yourself into that and do not compare yourself with others." Say that with me. Do not compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. With your own life. Now, my niece bought me a t-shirt for Christmas. I haven't seen the Barbie movie yet. By a show of hands, can I see how many have seen the Barbie movie? Now, I haven't seen it yet, but I understand there's a character called Ken in the movie. Hello. And so I guess what happens is that early on in the movie, Ken is struggling with inferiority and insecurity. Talk about typecasting. And so there he is struggling, but toward the end of the movie, he begins to be more secure in who he is. And in fact, I guess near the end of the movie, he even wears a hoodie. And the hoodie says this, "I am Knuff." Say that with me. I am Knuff. And that's the t-shirt she bought me. I am Knuff. And next time you start to compare yourself with others, push it aside and say, "I am Knuff." Say it with me. I am Knuff. Because when you start comparing, you head down a road. I mean, let's say you're going to a high school reunion and you show up and you're looking around. And now you see some people that you look way better than they do. And then you say to yourself, "Well, that's because, you know, of all my good living." And so there you are battling with pride. And then you look at other people and you say to yourself, "Wow, they look way better than I do." And then you think, "Well, that's because they've had all the work done, right?" And now you're battling with envy. So either way, you lose. And that's why don't fall into the comparison trap. When you start to compare yourself to others, stop and say to yourself, "I am Knuff." Focus on what you have instead of what you don't have. There's this picture of these two kids eating ice cream, if we can bring that up. And the two kids, one of the kids is super happy, the other kid not so much. Now he has ice cream, he has good ice cream, but he's looking at her ice cream and it's taken away his joy. One leading psychologist, Dr. Archibald Hart, in his book on happiness, says envy is one of the most potent causes of unhappiness. And that's one of the reasons the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. So next time you start to compare yourself with others, instead of focusing on what I don't have, I'm going to focus on what I do have. I'm going to practice contentment. I may not have this bike, but thanks be to God, I have a bike. I have a bike that runs. I have money enough to put gas in this bike. I'm healthy enough to ride this bike. I live in California and I can ride this bike all year long. I've got a lot to be grateful for. Don't let envy rob you of your joy. I am enough. Focus on who you are instead of trying to be somebody else. There was a teacher that was teaching her third grade class on modern inventions, and she asked the class, can anybody name something of importance that wasn't here 50 years ago? And a little boy raised up his hand and said, me. And I like that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that about yourself? The psalmist says in 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. You are an original. You've been created by God. You don't have to try to be this person or that person. God made you to be you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can say to yourself, I'm enough. I really am. Focus on doing what you should do instead of what others do. There's a great scene after the resurrection where Jesus is talking with Peter, and he tells Peter, look, this is what's going to happen to you. This is how you're going to live. This is how you're going to die. And Peter says, okay, and he looks at another disciple, and he says, what about him? What's going to happen to him? How's he going to live? How's he going to die? And I love Jesus' response. Jesus answered and said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Say that with me. What is that to you? You must follow me. In other words, just fulfill the purpose God has for you. Just run the race God has for you. Just live the dream that God has uniquely for you. I don't have to try to compete with anybody. I don't have to try to be somebody else. I just have to be the me who God's created me to be. I am enough. Say it one more time. I am enough. So we're not going to let envy win the battle over us and take away our joy. Instead, we're going to turn criticism into congratulations. The Bible says in Romans, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Rejoice with them. Now, I've never tried this, but as I've read about it, that if you put a group of crabs into a big bucket, if one of the crabs tries to climb out of the bucket, that the other crabs, you think they would give them a boost and help him escape. But instead they reach up there and pull him back down into the bucket with them. And out of that has come something known as the crab pot mentality. That when other people are trying to climb higher, when envy kicks in, we want to pull them right back down and criticize their success. But if we move in the opposite spirit and instead we rejoice with those who rejoice and we cheer them on when they're successful. For example, if your neighbor's kid makes the honor roll, you give them a bumper sticker that says, my kid beat up your honor student. No, there's that crab pot mentality. You got to watch for it. No, or when your brother's family buys a new home, you send them a housewarming gift. Or when your friend gets voted the prettiest girl in the school, you walk up to her and you give her a hug. Or when the guy at work gets the promotion that you were hoping for, you be the first one to walk up, shake his hand, and congratulate him. Or when the person sitting next to you at church has a new outfit on, you say to them, I used to have an outfit just like that, and then I got a job. There's that crab pot mentality again. It's just right there. If you move in the opposite spirit and you celebrate the success of others. Now, let's just be real. There are times that's not the first thing you feel like doing. It isn't. I mean, there have been times where envy kicks in, and the last thing I do is want to celebrate the success of somebody else. I heard about this trucker who was in a diner, and he's having a lunch, having a sandwich at lunch, and this biker group walks in, and they take his lunch, and they throw it onto the ground, and they laugh, and they go over and have a seat, and the trucker doesn't say anything. And he, a little while later, he pays his bill, he leaves. And when he walks out, the bikers say to the waitress, they say, man, that guy wasn't much of a man, was he? And the waitress says, well, he wasn't much of a driver either. He just ran over all those bikes outside. He just ran them right over. And when envy kicks in, the first feeling you may have is running that bike over. But you can act your way into a feeling. In 12-step recovery groups, they call it fake it till you make it. And you make a choice to move in the opposite spirit. And I'm going to celebrate them whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to celebrate their success, and I am choosing to cheer them on. And that will keep your heart free from envy. And it will also give you what I call double joy. Because that means when I celebrate God's goodness to me, and I should, the Bible says, rejoice in the good things the Lord your God has given to you. Can we take just a moment out and do that? Can we rejoice in the good things God has given to us? Hallelujah. So we rejoice in the good things God's done for us, and then we celebrate God's goodness in the life of others. We rejoice with others. And what that does, it doubles your joy. Our friend Pastor Rick Warren, he says, envy is resenting God's goodness to others and ignoring God's goodness to me. Instead, when I celebrate God's goodness to you and God's goodness to me, it ends up doubling my joy. It really does. There was a singer called Linda Ronstadt, and when I was young, boy, she had 40 number one hits, and she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and she wrote a book, and in the book, she talked about another singer called Emmylou Harris. She said when she was first coming up, and she saw Emmylou Harris, and she heard her sing, I mean, she was just amazed at her voice. And she thought to herself, she said, she's doing what I want to do. And then she thought to herself, she's doing what I want to do, only she's doing it better than I do. And that's where envy will try to find its way in. We're most susceptible to envy in the area of our gifting or in the area of our calling. Musicians tend to envy other musicians. Parents tend to envy other parents. Pastors tend to envy other pastors. Not pastors at this church, but in other churches that happens. It's in the area of our gifting and our calling that we're most susceptible. But she made a decision. Instead, she said this. She said, I thought if I allowed myself to become envious, it would be painful to listen to her, and I would deny myself the pleasure of it. But she resisted the envy, and she celebrated the success of others, and then she celebrated her own success, And that's how you find double joy. Our God is so good. He wants us to experience double joy in our life. Can we give him praise? Amen. Double the joy. Now that brings us to the last idea. And this last idea has to do with turning your admiration into inspiration. When you admire something, take that admiration and write it down the road to inspiration. If envy gets a hold of that admiration, it takes you down a dead-end street. But instead, if you take admire and you turn down the road to inspire, it has a way of bringing out the best in you. In fact, our friend Joel Osteen says, you need to associate with people who inspire you, people who challenge you to rise higher. And that's one of the ways you turn envy on its head. When you are successful in business, I can use your success to inspire me. When you are a brilliant artist, I can use your brilliance to inspire me. When you're in really good shape, Irma Bombeck used to pray. She said, God, if you can't make me thin, then make all my friends heavy. But if you're in really good shape, I can use your condition to inspire me. I don't have to be you. I don't have to envy you. But I can use what I admire to inspire me and bring out the very best in me. Think about how we do that with biblical characters. We see their faith and it inspires our faith. Or we see their courage and it inspires our courage. Or we see their perseverance and it inspires our perseverance. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We take admire and we let it inspire. I've had the chance over my lifetime, I've been so blessed in these 64 years, and I've had the chance to meet a lot of people, and I've had a chance to meet my fair share of people who are very high achievers. And if you were to ask me, all right, narrow it down, who's the one person in your life that you've met that you admire most? The one person I admire most is my dad, our founding pastor. And he passed away about 5.5 years ago, but he still is the one that I admired most. I mean, if you knew my dad, you knew that, wow, he was a, well, let's use some of today's language. He was a generational talent. I mean, he was a pioneering entrepreneur. He was a media influencer. He was an inspirational communicator. He's a recording artist. In other words, my dad had a whole lot of horsepower going on with his bike. He did. And I knew I could not be like my dad. If I tried to be like my dad, here's what I've discovered. If you try to ride the wrong bike, if you ride it long enough, eventually you're going to crash and burn. And there were times that was me right there running into that sign. So finally, I had to say, I am Knuff. And I had to get on the bike that God had given to me and just be the me that God had created for me to be. But here's what I did with my dad. I let what I admire inspire me. That who he was as a husband inspired me as a husband. That who he was as a father inspired me as a father. That who he was as a pastor inspired me as a pastor. And most importantly, who he was as a follower of Jesus inspired me in my walk with Jesus. I'm not what I'm gonna be, but thanks be to God, I'm not what I used to be, because God has helped me to take admire and use it to inspire me, and that's how you turn envy on its head. Our theme verse for the series is Romans chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. Let me read it. What a terrible failure I am. And I know that feeling so well. Who will save me from the sin that brings death to my body? I give thanks to God who saves me. He saves me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That God is transforming us in the best kind of way from the inside out. That's something to get excited about. Hallelujah. That's God's dream for you. And it all starts by surrendering your life to Jesus. Joe Rogan, on a recent podcast, I heard that he said, we need Jesus. And I think he's right. In order to be the very best version of ourselves, to live the dream that God has for us, that it all starts with Jesus and surrendering our life to Jesus. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads for just a moment with me. And as the creative arts team prepares for the final number that has us celebrating on this Palm Sunday, I want to ask you a question. Perhaps you'd say, Ken, I know about Jesus. I've heard about Jesus. I admire Jesus. I like Jesus. That's why I'm here today. I wouldn't be here today. I'm not a hater. If I didn't like Jesus, I'm a fan, but I've never really become a follower of Jesus. And today I want to step across the line from being a fan to being a follower, from being an admirer to being a follower. I want to surrender my life to Jesus today. It's the starting point. It's what this Easter season is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And wherever you're at on campus, those who are watching online, if that's a decision you're making today, I just want to agree with you. Would you lift up your hand real high and say, Pastor Ken, I'm making that decision today to surrender my life to Jesus. Wherever you're at in the audience, up at the balcony, all across the bottom floor, in the parking lot, God sees your heart. He sees your hands. I invite everybody to repeat this prayer after me. Do you mean it with all your heart? Heavenly Father, I come to you. I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. And I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And I put my trust in him. I surrender my life to him. I put him in charge. Thank you, God, for loving me like you do. And now I want to pray for all of us. Thank you, Father, for those that are making that decision to follow Jesus. All heaven is celebrating at this moment. And God, all of us today, we live in a culture that feeds and fosters envy. But today, for a moment, let us be countercultural and have hearts that are full of gratitude. You have been so good to us. In so many ways, you've been so good to us, and our hearts are so grateful today. And at the beginning of this Holy Week, we want to give you honor and glory and praise for who you are and what you've done for us. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Cathedral, God is good. And all the time. Boy, celebrate his goodness today. Right before they come out, if you made that decision to follow Jesus, on the chair right in front of you, there's a card. And if you'll either fill the card out or you'll use the QR code on that card. We would love to be able to send you a certificate that marks this moment. This is the day I became a follower of Jesus. So if you'll take a moment out before you leave to do that, we'd love to send you that certificate this week. Well, this creative arts team is coming to celebrate Palm Sunday. Would you give them a great big welcome as they come? Thank you.
Hosanna!
Would you stand with me, please, everyone? Can we let the World of Arts team know how much you appreciate them kicking things off, man? Well, come on down here. Yeah, all week long, this is just the beginning, but all week long, Manuel and Demi and Jessica and the whole creative arts department, the dance team, the band, the kids ministry. You know, Friday, we'll be going down the Via Della Rosa together. And then next Sunday, we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we hope that you can join us all week long. In fact, beginning tonight at 6 o'clock, we have a special showing of The Chosen. It'll be right here in the chapel. The one that's been in the movie theater is being shown in the chapel tonight for free. So we invite you to come back out to that. And then if you don't have to rush out, we have our Easter immersive experience over in the chapel right after service, and the drama team will be out there in the chapel. So go by, take some pictures. Love you, Cathedral family. Are you ready for an amazing week? Amen. Amen. Well, let's speak God's blessing as you go today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine brightly upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you his peace. And this week, especially this week, may you know how good God has been to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Have an awesome, awesome rest of the day.